Oh, the simplicity. And that's the thing, the Christmas story is really a simple story. But it is also so profound. And this is why each year we take these themes of the Advent, which is the theme of the whole Christmas story. It's a story of hope. And the first week that we entered into Advent, we looked at what does hope mean? What does hope look like when we live that hope out and we practice it? And we moved last week into peace. Peace is so often considered to be this space where there's no more conflict anymore. And even in Jesus' day, he came into one of the most conflicted times in human history, the move of the Roman Empire. And it was a time of war and unrest and trying to impose peace by rule. And there was a high expectation that Jesus was going to come and usher in this whole new season of peace, which was quietness and stillness and the cessation of all unrest. But Jesus didn't bring that. He brought peace in the midst of conflict. And this was a question we asked last week. And if you weren't here, I encourage you, listen to it, because the question is, even in our lives, do we know peace in the midst of conflict? Peace in the midst of unrest, peace in the midst of instability. But this week, we're going to look at what I think is the central theme of the Advent, of the longing and the waiting and the drawing near of and the arrival of Jesus. And it's this theme of love. We know that it brings life and it brings joy, and joy will be next week, but this passage, John 3:16, brings this central theme to life. But I was actually going to just sort of bring this moment and make my message just one word. I was going to sort of do that Winston Churchill famous speech where he said, never give up. And then he sort of, it was that early mic drop moment before people did mic drop moments, but he just left it that simple. Well, this morning I was going to do that, and then I thought, no, there's a little more to it than God so loved the world. But that's where I want to start. So when you look at this verse here, John 3:16, I want to just take a moment. I want you to read it to yourself, and I want you to read it slowly. And what does it speak to you? What stands out to you? What are the words that seem to be big to you? So take a moment and just read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not or doesn't have to perish, but can have everlasting life. You know, I've been just considering this. This to me is this central message of Christmas. And the word this year that probably grabbed me more than anything else is a word that we quickly breeze by. God so loved the world. Back it up. God so loved the world. This little two-letter word, so. We've all used it to express some level of intensity. And the first thing I see in this passage is God's love is intense. Have you ever, you know, had a moment that you use this word so to emphasize the greatness of? Oh, man, the surf this morning was so good. You probably don't say that a lot on the Sunshine Coast, but there are days that you sort of just get out of the water and your arms are tired and you're just like, man, that was so good. And this level of intensity rises the more O's we put on it. So good. Well, this is the word that is being conveyed here. This is the sense of that word, that God so loved the world. You know, an intensity sort of varies on the experience, right? The number of O's varies. Now, there's this thing in the world right now that people are trying to, you know, cultivate the hottest chili known to mankind. And there was this scientist, I don't know how he worked this out or decided to measure it all, but his name was Scoville, and he developed the Scoville scale. And it goes everywhere from this level of chili pepper that's of the chili family. It's a capsicum or a bell pepper, and it gets a whopping zero on the Scoville scale. But then you sort of go up, and then you're a bit of a lucky dip in the peppers that are sort of like, you know, the bird's eye red chili, and you can cut into that, and it's like, it's a zero, or maybe you get up to a 10. And anyone that, you know, likes heat in their peppers knows that a bird's eye chili is not really a hot chili pepper. But you keep going up the Scoville scale and you come to jalapenos. Now, okay, in Australia, a lot of people call it jalapeno. Now, jalapeno is wrong unless you own the restaurant, and I have been corrected. Actually, went to Montezuma's and I asked if we could have the melted cheese and jalapeno dip. And the girl said, do you mean the jalapeno? And we simply said, yes. Yes, yes, we'll have the jalapeno dip. Thank you. No, it's jalapeno, but enough of the language lesson. We move up the Scoville scale. And the other night, went to my friend Shane's place, and we like a bit of Mexican food, and we like a little bit of heat, but found in the aisle at Woolworths habaneros peppers. Now, habaneros is you're moving pretty well up the scale here, and so we just cut into it, and we decided, let's just take a slice of it. And it was so hot. Like, I think Shane was toughing it out. I'm grabbing rice, I'm grabbing white bread, I'm chugging milk, I'm doing anything because, man, it was burning. But, you know, there is this move now that they are, you know, adding like sort of death themes to the names of peppers that they're growing. You know, they developed the scorpion pepper, and the scorpion, you know, when we've got zeros and, you know, you're up around the 100,000s for the habaneros, you go up to scorpion, but now we've got the Carolina Reaper. 2.5 million. On the Scoville scale. I'm not doing that. The guys who cut them up use gloves. Like, there's this warning, if you take it and you regurgitate it, it will burn your whole esophagus. You can be in deep trouble with that stuff. That's like so hot. But here's the thing, this passage, I want to get a little bit of the gravity of it, so I'm going to come back to this word, so. You see, God so loved this world with an intensity that he gave. And love is generous. Christmas is a time where people give gifts, and it's built around this idea of generosity, but there is nothing that is more generous. Jesus said, no greater love has anyone than is willing to lay his life down for his brother. But the love of a father that so loved the world that he would give his only son is staggering to me. 23.5 hours from now, I will get on a plane and I'm flying to go and be with our daughter who's going to have our first grandchild. And I'm pretty pumped. Like, I got to tell you, I am so pumped to go and to be in this space, and particularly at Christmas. And I like a lot of you, but I would never sacrifice my grandson nor my son for any of you, just in case you were wondering. Like, I can say, I love you, like, I love you. But the idea of going, your life is worth an exchange of my baby grandchild's life or my son's life, becomes pretty confronting. And we can blaze through this verse and we can blaze through Christmas and actually miss the intensity and the generosity of the love of God. That he would think it a fitting gift to restore us to relationship with him at the cost of his son. To introduce him to humanity, knowing that he would be rejected, that he would ultimately be abused, that he would ultimately be killed, fit what love meant. God so loved the world with an intensity that he gave his only son with a generosity that whosoever believes in him, this is an incredible inclusivity. Love like this is inclusive. Whosoever. This is not a Western Christmas idea. This is an invitation of God to be loved. Whoever you are, Christian, non-Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, humanist, atheist, Satanist, loved by God as a part of humanity and this world that it becomes so inclusive that you are a whosoever will believe. That kind of love feels sort of uncomfortable, doesn't it? Would we have the audacity, any of us, to go, yeah, we'll accept them? Whosoever accept. Because if we have an accept in there, we miss the entire point of this message. Because the love of God is intense. And the love of God is generous. And the love of God is inclusive. And the love of God is gracious, because he said, and to anyone who will believe, they do not have to perish, but you can have everlasting life. And life that is fuller and more abundant and more powerful and beautiful than anything we have understood to this point. You see, Friday I was actually doing a funeral service. And doing funerals to me is, you know, it's a beautiful space to serve families in. But there's something when you are closing down the life of a believer in Jesus. I have to be honest, there's a part of me that's a little jealous. You see, as I closed Eva's service on Friday, I had had a conversation just the week before, and she said this. She said, look, I'm struggling. I think this is it for me. But then I want to give myself a kick in the pants, and I want to tell myself, come on, you've got more. And I am reminded of the words of Paul where he says to his friends that he's writing letters to, he says, I don't know what's better, to remain and stay with you for your sake or to go to all that is prepared for me. Because there is this promise of everlasting life that goes beyond anything we've experienced here. And when I shared that, I suddenly felt incredibly overwhelmed to the point that, you know, I know for me tears come fairly easily, but I just out of the blue began to just like cry. And I'm like, I love my life here, but when I consider what God has in store for those who love Him, it's pretty overwhelming. You see, God so loved this world with an intensity that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the love of God that would give a child to be born in a manger, in a crowd of strangers, in amongst the whosoevers of humanity, that we might know life. Do you think that somehow it doesn't include you? You ever dealt with that? I'm not good enough. I've failed too many times. I don't understand it. I'm not smart enough, not theological enough, not part of the in crowd. Man, you are a whosoever. You are most assuredly a whosoever. And you are loved. How much? So much. You know, I think compared to an ant, I am so big. And you know, I sort of lose that significance of so big when I look at our earth. And I stand on the shore and I look at the ocean and I'm like, the ocean is so big. In fact, I have to fly across it some 14 hours. It's big. But on the face of our earth, it's not that big. But what about when we just minimalize our earth against our sun? The sun is so big. Unless you start comparing our sun to some of the other stars in our solar system, and you have things like Betelgeuse and Antares. Antares is so big. In fact, a little more perspective, if you look at our sun compared to Antares, it looks a bit like this. Antares, and you can see Antares, it's the heart of the scorpion. If you know the scorpion constellation, it's a pinprick in the sky to our eyesight. But Antares is so big, unless you compare it to a pistol star. And then Antares doesn't look so big, but then our sun doesn't even register anymore, and our earth is long gone, and the ocean, what was that? And me standing on the shore of a beach, and an ant. But even the pistol star in Antares in the scope of our galaxy, which is the Milky Way galaxy, and if you just looked on one of the outer spiral arms at one of the brighter stars there, that's Antares. You see, our galaxy is so big until you look at our galaxy in the pinprick we've really looked at in our universe. You see, our universe, and that's just a portion of it. Our universe is so big, so big. You see, we miss these words. God, so so loved this world, so loved you, with an intensity we will never fully understand. With a generosity we'll never fully understand. With an inclusivity that us in our separatist human thinking will never understand. And with a grace that goes beyond our wildest imagination, that no one has to perish, but all can have everlasting life. He so loves us. But here's the kicker. Jesus said, now, love as I have loved. What does Christmas look like for us? You see, Christmas and this message of God and His Son Jesus is about giving. And it's about what He gave us, but it is about what we live out and give in return. I pray this Christmas that your experience of love would be intense and generous and inclusive and gracious, but I pray that your expression of love this Christmas would be so, so great that people would know the intensity of it and the generosity of it and the inclusivity of it and the grace of it. And as we close, I'm just going to ask, there's a very, very simple song that is familiar that just says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. Your righteousness, it's like the mighty mountains. And your justice, it's like the ocean tides. For God so loved this world that He gave His only Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life.